with a word of prayer. Then we're going to jump right in. Our Father, we bless your name together this morning. We thank you for the beauty of the sunshine. We thank you, Father, for bringing us safely through the bad weather. We thank you, Father, for your blessing that it is to come every Sunday morning and study your word together. Your word is so worthy of our attention. And I pray this morning that you'll challenge us as we study. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a crazy week last week. I didn't know if I was coming to Sunday school. I didn't know if you were coming to Sunday school. And so some of you came, some of you were safe and stayed at home. And I'm so glad Brookhaven was spared, right? I had some grandchildren up in Oxford, and one of them fell on the ice and broke his foot. He had to have surgery on Friday, 3 pins in his foot. So that ice can be deadly, right? It was David. Yeah. So many of you just stayed in, got your hot mug of coffee or hot chocolate, and watched TV, watched our service online, but you couldn't watch Sunday school online. So I'm going to do a little bit of reviewing this morning since so many of you weren't here last week. And so we started out in our study, in our first lesson, just talking about the subject of the beautiful grace of God. It's one of my favorite topics to meditate on. And the Christian life from start to finish is dependent totally on the grace of God. We're saved by faith, and we are what we are by the grace of God. And we're setting out in this study to explore what David Mathis calls the paths that put us in the position of experiencing the grace of God. Now let's write down those three paths that will lead us to the grace of God in our lives. And the first one is hearing God's word, hearing God's voice. And we're going to call that the word, the word. We're going to sum it up in one word. And then the second path is having God's ear. We're calling that prayer. And the third is belonging to his body, and we're calling that fellowship. Now, we talked about hearing God's word last week generally, and today I want us to talk more specifically. And so let's touch on some things that we said last week. Because Sandra wasn't here, that lesson's not on the bragging post, so you can't listen to it. But just let's review a minute. Now, before a word of the Bible was ever recorded, written down, bound in a book, before it was ever recorded, God was speaking. God was revealing himself, and God was revealing himself in communication. If you go back to the very beginning, the first thing he did was he spoke. He spoke, and when he did, everything came into being. And then when we were born again, when we were created again in our new birth, it was because God spoke. God spoke to our hearts. God called us. And God said to us, come and follow me. He said it through the gospel message. And we heard his voice. And we responded to his voice. And we were born again. We were saved. We were made new. You see, we're finding out God takes the initiative in communication. And he does so by speaking. Look at John 1:1 on your handout. And we see there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see his Word became a person. Jesus is the full expression of God to us. Jesus is the living Word in a body. And here is the question we asked last week. Well, how do I access Him? How do I access this Word in a body now that He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, in heaven? And the essential place, this side of heaven, is that God has given us revelation of the Word in the Bible. We have God revealing Himself in creation, as we said, in the person of Jesus through the gospel message, and then in the carefully inspired, inerrant, and infallible revelation of Himself in the Holy Scripture. Now, we talked about last week, if we knew about Jesus, we knew about God, but if we didn't have the Word of God, it would get distorted. We would pass down what we know, they would pass down what they know, and over the years, how could it stay a pure message? And the way it stays pure is through God's Word. God's Word is a path to life. It's nourishment to our souls. It's the means of our growth. And it's also a means to God's grace. Now let's talk about the purpose of this study just a little bit. And I want you to jot down some things on your handout. Because this study is so much more than just me helping you or our author helping us to develop particular habits. So put that on your handout around God's Word. It's more than that. Yes, it's that. But it's more than that. It's more than just let's learn new habits. You know, if you do something for 6 weeks, it becomes a habit. Here's what it's more about. It's more about calling us to recognize that we need to saturate our lives with the words of life. We need to saturate our life. I love that word, saturate.
How do you spell that?
Helper, Sandra, because I'm not a good speller. Write this down. It's more about developing a deep conviction in our souls about our need for God's Word. How needy are you, ladies, for the Word of God in your life? We must be coming to see just how we need to be. We must be women of the Bible. And so it's all about developing the rhythms of our lives that will help us revolve around. Let's write it down. Embracing Jesus. He's God's Word incarnate. Embracing the gospel word. And by that, I mean understanding thoroughly what it is Jesus did for us and what it means for us, and then reinforced by His written word, the Bible. And so we're on a journey. We're on a journey to God's, to experiencing God's rich grace. We must begin with the Word of God. It's the starting place in our Christian lives. Because God spoke first, and we must begin with His words, and then His words will lead us to the other two, to prayer and to fellowship. Now, this morning, we're going to get a little practical. Can you remember way back when you learned to ride your bike? I can remember. I think I was about 4, maybe 3. But I got a little bike for Christmas, and it was really, really small. And guess what it had on it? It had training wheels. You're right. And I had 2 older siblings, and they could ride their bikes like crazy. Why, my brother could ride his bike all the way down the street, not even holding on. I thought that was amazing. And so we began by learning with the training wheels on. And it was awkward at first, but you got good at it. And then it was time to take those training wheels off. And it wasn't long before I was riding down the street, not holding on the whole way. And so it's kind of like with your Bible reading, your Bible study.
You've got to develop rhythms in your time that circle the Word of God. You've got to practice it. You've got to do it every day. Do you want to make it your central place? Now, where do you begin with your Bibles? And I'm just going to say simply, just by reading. Just by reading your Bible. That is where you begin. Now, write this down. You're going to read for breadth. You're going to study for depth. And you need both. You need to read for breadth, study for depth. Now, no Bible author gives us this nice little method for how to go about your daily Bible reading. And this morning you say, oh, good grief, Teresa, I'm just overwhelmed already. If I have to add one more thing to my schedule, it's already demanding, it's already overbooked, I just don't know if I have time. But once you learn to ride the bike, once you get into riding it, it's so much fun, and it's so rewarding. Now, I want you to talk around your table a minute, and I want you to share with each other what your strategy is for simply reading the Bible. Are you doing it? How much time do you spend? Are you doing it every day? Take a minute. Just share around your table. So go and do it right now. Share, the ones who are doing it are so ready to share. Yes, I do. Very simply, how to read your Bible. Here we go. Number one, find a regular time. Put that on your handout. Find a place. And then block out distractions. Now, if you have small children, that is impossible. But sometimes you can.
Block out what?
Distractions. And then what you're going to do is just open up your Bibles and put your nose in it. Now, that's not so hard, is it? And you're just going to read it and let your mind and heart be led and captured and thrilled by God Himself communicating to us His objective written word. Somebody let Leah in for me. There you go. But, Teresa, it's hard for me. I mean, I can start reading the Bible. I don't understand what I'm reading. I just feel so inadequate. I want you to listen very carefully this morning. I believe the single most important thing you can do, hands down, is make a habit of regularly reading the Bible for yourself. There's no substitute for just a few focused minutes a day in the text of the Bible. You may be surprised how much those little bits of time invested in this add up over the long haul. And after you do it, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, simply reading the Bible, letting God's Word form in our minds, and letting it inspire our hearts, letting it instruct our lives, it's then that we slowly see the lights going on everywhere as we walk through life. and as we keep walking through the pages of our Bibles. Now, I want you to think of it this morning like yard work. How many of you like yard work? I actually love yard work, not in the 19-degree weather, but reading your Bible is like raking leaves. Raking leaves is not hard to do. Now, we have 100 trees in our yard, and we have lots of leaves. We have bushels of leaves. And by the way, we are having a bumper crop of acorns this year. Have y'all noticed? Now, I would rather get my blower out and blow the leaves than rake the leaves, but the same concept. It's kind of like therapy, getting out. And there it's all messy, and then I'll get out on my play yard always. That's where I'll start and get it all clean for the grandchildren to play. It's so satisfying when it looks neat. And it isn't that hard. Even the grandchildren can help because I follow them these little rakes and they make big piles. But reading the Bible is like that. It's easy. It's like just raking leaves. But then spring comes and there are those flower beds. And those flower beds really need our attention. Now that's a different animal. That's going to require me to get on my knees and dig in the flower bed. And that's hard work.
Especially our age.
That's kind of like studying your Bible. It's a little harder. But a few minutes a day spent in reading your Bible can take you a long way spiritually. But when you slow down and study, you soon find out it requires more work, more time. I know after I will go out and work in my flower beds, I'll come in and after I'm done, where I've been bending and digging and all of that stuff, and I'm old now, and I head straight for the apple bottle because I know I'm going to need some apple. But there's a place for reading. There's a place for raking and gathering at a fast pace. But there's also a place for digging. And when you dig, you might dig deep enough to where you find diamonds. Ooh, and they're so valuable. And then after you find those diamonds, you marvel at the beauty of the jewels. They're priceless. But this morning, I'm wanting us to start with simply thinking about committing ourselves to just reading our Bibles, doing it regularly, developing that skill. Now, I want to show you, Jesus read his Bible. Look on your handout there. In the last chapter of Luke comes the story of these two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus on the very Sunday that Jesus was resurrected. And this was in the late afternoon. And they were talking about Jesus, and they were talking about the crucifixion, and they were talking about everything that had happened. Look at verse 15. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk with them. They were prevented from recognizing him. And so as he joins them, he asks them, "What are you arguing about?" And they told him, "Man, where have you been? We're talking about all the things concerning Jesus and everything that had happened." And here's something they knew about. They said there were some women who went to the tomb this morning. They didn't find his body. And they reported seeing angels who said he was alive. And how some other disciples who were with them had gone, and indeed they found the tomb was empty. And they didn't see Jesus. And then in verse 25, look what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. Now, he took the Old Testament, and he went to the prophets, and he showed them. He showed them all the things that had been predicted about the Messiah, how he had to suffer. Look at John 8:56. Jesus made this claim there. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." John 5:46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. Luke 24:44, Jesus told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written down about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. But I love what verse 45 says. He's speaking now to these two on the road to Emmaus. This is what he said, what happens. In verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, even the disciples, even the apostles, they had to learn to read their Bibles with their whole minds and their hearts. And it was opened to them. And that's what happens to us when we read our Bible. They began to hear the whispers of Scripture and the pointers that were in that Scripture that was pointing to Jesus. It was everywhere in the Old Testament. Now, you may be a beginner at the Bible this morning, or you may be a Bible veteran. But the place we begin is reading regularly the Bible for ourselves. Now, there's no law that says all Christians must read their Bibles every day. There's no law in Scripture that says that. But I just want to make this suggestion that the habit of daily Bible reading can be a marvelous path taking you into the fullness of God's grace. And I personally don't want to miss any of God's grace. Now look at 2 Timothy 3:16 on your handout. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. How much? All. Every bit of it. Everything in scripture, listen to me, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is good for us. It's profitable. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let's see what this has to say about the Old Testament. It says there, these things happened to them as examples, speaking of what happened in the Old Testament, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Romans 15:4 says the same thing. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction so that we may have hope. You know, it's really a wonderful thing to read through the whole Bible. It's something I think that pastors and teachers in the church should strongly consider doing every year, just to let your eyes pass over all the scripture during the year. But it's not a rule that you have to do it, though it would be a good thing for every Christian to try to do it at some point. Now let's just take a moment to consider how doable that really is. If you were to sit down and read the Bible through from cover to cover, it would take you 70 hours. Now listen to this. That is less time than the average American person spends in front of their screens every month. Screens like social media and TV. You see, if most people would exchange their social media and TV time for reading their Bibles, they would finish reading the entire Bible in about 4 weeks. And consider this. If you just read your Bible, listen, 15 minutes a day, you could read your Bible through in less than a year. 15 minutes. Now, I want to share some Bible reading plans. And I've put them on the table that leads out of the fellowship hall. Here is one that, there are two that our author really, really suggested. One is called the McShane Bible Calendar. It's back there. And I believe that's reading out of three passages, two in the Old Testament, one in the New. And you're just reading through the Bible. It takes about 15 minutes. And then there's the Navigator's reading plan. This is what Sunday is doing, and this puts you reading in the Old Testament and the New Testament every day. And there's another reading plan called Read It, A Book at the Time. And so you're reading through the Bible a book at the time, and that's for about 15 minutes a day. But then there's one other plan back there, and it's the one my granddaughter Sarah Sunday's doing. It's called 5 by 5 by 5. And there you are reading through your Bible 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Now that is doable, isn't it? 4 different plans, they're on the table for you to pick up, tuck it in your Bible, and in the morning you're going to get up and just sit down and start reading your Bible. Now let me share with you, let me see where I am. I wanted to give a little bit of a testimony. I will just say, I study a lot, okay? But just devotionally reading through the Bible every day, I'll just have to say it's been a struggle for me for years. But about 3 years ago, I taught you that little book, How to Pray the Bible. And it was like, get in the Psalms. Get in the Psalms every day. His plan was 5 Psalms a day, and you might want to add a book of Proverbs. And I started doing that every morning. I've been doing it now for, I think, about 2.5 years. It's become a habit with me. And here's what I did. I started out reading the Psalms. Well, you know, I'm a teacher, so I'd start asking questions. Well, what does that mean? Well, what is he talking about here? Well, wonder what the context for this psalm is. And I started asking questions. So then I added a devotional book on the Psalms by Tim Keller, which really gave me a little more information. But no, that wasn't enough. Then I found out about this man called Dale Ralph Davis, who's written all of these books on the Psalms. And now I read a chapter on each psalm because I'm a teacher. I love to do that. But here's what I want to say. Oh my goodness, my life has changed. I get a journal out. The psalm is speaking to me, and I'm writing down and I'm praying in my journal things. I've got scriptures. Oh, I love that scripture. I want to pray that scripture for this child, this grandchild. And I'm compiling scriptures as I'm in the Word, and it's made all the difference. I started raking, I ended up digging. And now I'm enjoying all the beautiful flowers that are blooming. Reading takes less energy. Skim along the surface of the text. In a short time, you can read a chapter, check your box. Digging will require you to slow down, get out your pencil, ask some questions, do a little exploration. But you don't have to have a seminary degree to feast every day on God's scripture. It's like any sport. You have to practice. You have to get on the field. You have to play the game. Now, there's a place for both of those. Reading for breath, studying for depth. If you don't read, you don't have enough sense to know where the flower bed is. You have to find the flower bed or what needs your attention where you can go deep. Look at 2 Timothy 2:7. On your handout. Paul told Timothy, and I love this verse. Paul said, Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. What if we read our Bibles this way? I'm thinking over what the Bible is saying. I'm doing what Paul told Timothy to do. And then God comes and God gives me understanding. Now, all that I have said this morning is good and fine, but there is an X factor that I haven't mentioned that I want to close with today. And I love this. He said, I want to talk about the X factor. Do y'all remember that show, The X Factor? And Simon Cowell, y'all know who he is. Well, they were looking for not just a good singer, but the singer that had the wow factor, the X factor. So when you reach for your Bible, there's something mysterious. There's something strange. There's something puzzling. There's something difficult to understand that stirs in the pages of Scripture. There's something influential. There's something invisible that happens as we're reading God's Word, as we're hearing God's Word be spoken, as we're studying God's Word. Someone is unseen there, and they're moving. He's a personal force. He's fully divine. He's full of mystery. He's a person like you and me. He takes the words you are reading and he infuses them with something supernatural, and that Bible begins to take control of your person, your soul, as you're encountering God's Word. He strengthens us in our souls in such subtle ways. See, it's not about me teaching you how to somehow master a habit of reading or studying the Bible, as if your spiritual growth depended upon cause and effect. Now, if you'll do this and try real hard, then this is the result you'll get. And it's all about you and your effort. It's just not that. You cannot earn the grace of God. I don't care how hard you try. It's all by grace. And that is what I want you to see this morning. We have a helper. He's lingering in silence. He's laboring mysteriously outside of our control. He's shaping us as we take in the Bible in the mornings. This is what I've learned. And he makes me into who I need to be in the afternoon. You know why? Because I've been in the Bible in the morning. And not just the afternoon, but the weeks that follow. He's molding our minds. He's shaping our hearts. He's whittling at our wheels and carrying and carving away our calluses. He is the one who is the dispenser of the grace of God. And there he was, in the very beginning, hovering over the waters in Genesis 1. Hovering there, standing ready to execute the Father's will. And he also, listen to me, he hovers with special vigilance over God's divine word. He's standing ready to awaken dead souls. He's standing ready to open our eyes. He's standing ready to warm our cold hearts. I want you to listen with the Spirit in view as I read to you what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. It's on your handout in John 4. This is what he said to her. He said, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look through some verses out of this chapter. Because our helper that we have, he reveals to us the secret and the hidden wisdom of God. This is in verse 7, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Look at verse 10. It says our helper searches everything, even the deep depths of God. And verse 11, no one comprehends the thoughts of God. No one, that is, except the helper. And verse 12 tells us that he's the one that those who are saved have received. He's been given freely to us that we might understand the things given to us by God. And he comes in verse 13 and imparts this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by him, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. He's the one who sealed us. He's the one promised, one who was promised. Remember when we were studying John 16? He promised that he was going to send that helper. That's who I'm talking about. Look at Ephesians 1:13. In him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believe. And Ephesians 6:17 says that the word of God is the sword of who? The Spirit. Now I want to say this as I close, and I want you to write it down. This is what I'm saying. When you get alone with your Bible, you are not alone. Write that down. It's not up to you. It's not as if you got to try hard. No, you have a helper. God has not left us to ourselves to understand His Word, to feed our own souls. No matter how thin your training, no matter how inadequate you feel, no matter how busy you are, no matter how sketchy your routine is, your helper stands ready. So go ahead. Sit down. Take your Bible up confidently. Believe that God is primed. He's ready to bless you and bless your being with His very breath. There's more than meets the eye to the Bible. As you read it, as you study it, the Helper helps us enter into the wonderful atmosphere of God's grace. He is the variable we cannot control. Yes, He's mysterious, He's puzzling, He's difficult to understand, He's hard to explain, but it's a goodness that is available that we can only receive. So who is the X factor? It's the Holy Spirit. So write it down. So now tomorrow, as you take up time and you're going to get alone with God, maybe it's in the morning, you're going to get your coffee, you're going to find your place, you're going to sit down and open up God's Word and think about this. There He is, the Helper. He's hovering over the surface of God's Word. You have a helper. Put it to the test. Don't think, I got to do this. No, we're going to do this. We have a helper. I want to challenge you, ladies. Let's do this together. Let's read our Bibles together. Let's just read for breath. Let's begin there. Developing a habit. Maybe it's just 5 minutes a day. Get the 5 by 5 by 5 plan. 5 minutes, 5 days a week. If you want to go a little deeper, get another plan. What if you get behind? Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it in a year. What if it took you 2 years? The first time I ever read through the Bible, I was a young mom and I had a lot of little children. And I set out to read my Bible in a year. I think, Carolyn, you and I were doing it together. Well, Carolyn did it and it took me 2 years. She did it in one, but I didn't have more children. Right. So what? I read it. I've read the whole thing several times. I want to challenge you. Get familiar with the Word of God. And hovering over it is the X factor, the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You. Oh, my goodness. When we come to Your Word, It's such a special book. It's such a living book. And there we have a helper who's hovering over it to come and to teach us and to warm our cold hearts and to help us living in these days. God, we need Your help. God, we want to be godly women. And godly women are women who are women of Your book. I challenge us, Father, in our hearts to read Your Word as a path into Your vast store of grace. That we bless Your name together. Now, Father, we pray for our pastor as he stands to preach. We pray for our congregation as we stand to sing. Help us to think of the words. Help us to sing them with our hearts to You. May we lift our voices together in worship. And may we listen carefully as Your Word is spoken. And hovering over the whole thing is Your Spirit. And we thank You, Spirit, for what You do in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Don't Don't forget to grab a Bible reading plan.